Hello, and welcome to Uncle Nene's Nerdcast. I'm your host, Nathan Fletcher, a.k.a. Uncle Nene. We've got a great show for you today. We're joined by a really incredible guest. He's got a really interesting background, two-time New York Times bestseller author, and also a thought leadership podcast called The Thought Leader Revolution. He is a founder of eCircle Academy and helps entrepreneurs and coaches become authorities in their niche. I'm really excited to have him on the show. Welcome to the show, Nikki Ballou.
Hey, man. It's good to be here, Nathan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to have you here. You have a really interesting, inspiring story. You've built an incredible career as an author, a speaker, a thought leader. You know, can you share a little bit about your personal background and some early experiences that maybe shaped your approach to success and leadership?
Absolutely. I'm actually originally an immigrant from the Middle East. I'm a Christian from Iran, a country that's been in the news the last little while. And when I was 11 years old, the Islamic Revolution took place in Iran. And there were gun battles in the streets. And my mom and dad, they were like, whoa, this is not a place to raise a family, let alone a Christian family. So they made a plan, and they took me and my two brothers out of Iran. It took them 2 years to get us out of Iran. We went to Greece, and then 2 years later, we came to Canada, where I now live. Now, at the time, I was a kid. Right? I didn't want to leave my home. I didn't want to leave my friends. But as time went on, I could see the nobility of my mom and dad's sacrifice. They took us from a legacy of tyranny to a legacy of freedom. And I believe inside every human breast beats the living heart of freedom. And the Islamic Republic of Iran is the locus of evil and tyranny in the modern world. There are people right now that are demonstrating in the streets to get rid of this evil government so that the repression they've had on the people of Iran can be gone. That'll be a good thing for the world, right? But we came here and I started to see, man, you could speak out against the government, no biggie. You know, you could, if a girl could walk outside without having to cover her hair. I mean, all of that was powerful. All of that was amazing, important. And if you're an entrepreneur, you need freedom, man. Without freedom, you can't have free expression. Without free expression, you can't have free enterprise. Without free enterprise, you can't go out there and make your entrepreneurial dreams come alive, right? And my dad was an entrepreneur. Nathan, he was the greatest man you would have ever met, man. If you were looking for work, he'd sit you down in his office, call all his buddies until he got you a job. Nathan, if you were trying to start a business, he'd sit you down in his office. He'd listen to your ideas, give you advice, connect you with his contacts to get you access to capital, customers, even if you were competing with him, because he didn't really believe in competition. And if you were his friend and you were trying to buy a car or a house and the bank wouldn't quite give you enough, you need an extra $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, whatever the case may be, dad would write you a check for the balance as a loan. And if you tried to pay him back, he'd say, get out of here. Don't insult me.
That's what a legacy to come from. That's incredible. Very inspiring. You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about in the science fiction and fantasy world, I want to circle in on, is we talk about the revolution against the empire, right? The rebellion against the evil empire. You come from that background in real life. And so how does coming from that background, and it's still going back in your home country, how does that skew your perspective on the West and things that maybe we take for granted?
Well, I just feel really grateful to live in a free country and be able to make my dreams come alive. You know, one of the best science fiction books that illustrates this is an old Robert Heinlein book. I don't know if you're familiar with Robert Heinlein's books, if you've read any of them. It's called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fantastic book, and it's really about a rebellion against empire on the moon, you know, and I recommend everybody read that book because it's a good read. It's a fun read, but it really is a metaphor for what's really going on in real life right now.
Yeah. You know, you've been able to speak at interesting and notable places, work for major organizations like RBC and Lululemon, and you've coached many entrepreneurs. Do you have somewhat of a hero's journey, something that we identify with in the fantasy and sci-fi movies? Do you have your own hero's journey?
Well, I think I've been describing it to you now, right? I mean, leaving Iran, coming to Canada, and then I got into the world, you know, of being a businessman. And I wanted to help other entrepreneurs. You know, my dad would always tell me, son, life is about people, not money. I go, okay, dad. He said, even business, son's about people, not money. And I go, dad, you can't do business without money, right? He said, true. But without people, there's no need for money. was all businesses is solving problems for people for a profit. You solve acute problems for amazing people. You make an awesome profit. That's the awe-inspiring purpose of business. And I got into business to help entrepreneurs, especially coaches, consultants, solopreneurs, good men and women who were good at what they did, but maybe weren't good at sales and marketing and branding and visibility and all that. Because I was good at it. I mean, I came from an entrepreneurial family. I understand business. And really, that's what it's been all about for me. I'm here to help people. My dad would say to me, son, everyone needs a little encouragement, a little someone to believe in them. Every man, every woman, you, me, everybody. So what I do, man, my hero's journey, as it were, is I'm a professional believer in people. I'm a professional encourager. I sit down with you and I encourage you. I see what's great about you. I make you believe in yourself. I give you that little spark that turns into a roaring fire. And then you're off into the races. And I
That's got great.
Stories like that.
That's great. That's excellent. You know, you mentioned that one of your favorites was Starship Troopers and the classic sci-fi movie there. Tell me a little bit about what spoke to you about that movie. Why did that connect with you in such a way?
So Heinlein was a libertarian. I don't know, you know, if you were aware of that, but he was very much a champion of the individual. And many of his novels have that motif. Now, he speaks to the majesty and the goodness of the individual. I mean, if you read Stranger in a Strange Land, Stranger in a Strange Land and Grokking, man, that's just a beautiful book and a beautiful novel about the gorgeousness and the beauty of the human spirit. But Starship Troopers, man, that's a cry for freedom. It's a cry for standing up for that which you love and believe in. And the bugs represent evil. They represent the faceless, nameless forces of evil. Of bureaucracy, of hatred, of indifference, of a complete sociopathic and psychopathic lack of empathy. And the men and women who fight the bugs, they are the greatest men and women of our society. They're the ones who stand up, fight, bleed, and die so the rest of us can enjoy the blessings of liberty. And I liked in that movie that only people who had served were citizens and could vote. I think we should do that in the Western world today. Citizens who served should be able to vote and choose our leaders.
That's interesting. It's a movie that has a lot of themes, and the book, of course, as well. In sci-fi fantasy, we often explore worlds of, you know, extraordinary challenges. When you face entrepreneurs and leaders that you talk to, these real world challenges become a grind. You know, as you know, the joke is that when someone says, well, I want to start a business so I can make my own hours, you know, the reality is those hours are all the hours. You know, if you want to start your own business, it's not easy. So, you know, what are some of the techniques that you do when you're working with these folks to help them be their own hero, to help them find the tenacity and perseverance that's required to be an entrepreneur?
Great question. So let me tell you a story about one of my clients. This man was, when I met him, he was new in business. He was a personal fitness trainer. Good guy, really good guy. Kind of guy you'd want your sister to date instead of all the deadbeat guys she was dating. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But he sucked at business. He had 7 clients. He was making $1,200 a month on a good month, right? So he came to me because he wanted to do better. He had big dreams, big visions, big ambitions. So I sat with him and I said to him, Dan, his name was Dan. I said, Danny, tell me, who do you help? And he says, what do you mean? I mean, I'm a fitness trainer. I can help anybody. I can help them lose weight. I can help them gain weight. I can help them get ready for a wedding, whatever. And I said, that's why you're failing. He said, oh. I said, yeah, you got to narrow your focus. Try to be all things to all people. You'll be nothing to nobody. Mm. So he said, okay. So how do I do that? And I said, well, think. Who would you like to work with and why? So he said, give me a minute. He said, okay, I got it. I'm going to work with doctors. Seemed out of left field. Why? He said, well, my dad's a doctor and I love my dad. I go, that's nice, but why else? He said, doctors make a lot of money, right? They pay me. I'm like, Danny, nobody wants to be working with you because they make a lot of money and they can pay you. I mean, that could be a reason you work with people, but it cannot be the dominant reason you work
right,
with
people. Right, right.
He said, no, I'm doing this. So he got a couple clients, but no big shakes. A couple months later, I go to him. I go, Danny, we need to change this. Yeah. He says, okay, you want me to narrow my focus, right? He says, I work with cardiologists. They make more money than doctors. Danny, no, that's not how it's done. No, I'm doing it. He got no cardiologist clients. But what he did do is he met a guy who had a missing leg from a childhood accident, Paralympian athlete. And so good old Danny, I'm going to tell you right now, he went and he did great work with this guy. In fact, he got him ready for major international competitions, helped him win medals. You know, life is what happens, right, when God's laughing at you for your plans. He comes to me and he goes, Nicky, man, I got to apologize to you. I said, apologize? What for? He said, I didn't listen to you. You told me not to go after the money. I didn't listen. And you were right and I was wrong. I'm sorry. I said, all right. He said, you know what? I'm gonna go help people with missing limbs. Mm. I know what they're dealing with and I can help them. I said, that sounds like a great idea, Danny. Finally got it right.
Yeah.
Well, within 6 weeks with zero ad spend on word of mouth alone, he signed up 400 clients.
Wow.
He could no longer do one-on-one coaching. He had to create some sort of group hybrid model. His monthly income went from $1,200 a month to over $100,000 a month by not going after the money.
Right.
And just put yourself in the shoes of people with missing limbs. Why did they flock to Dan? First of all, nobody else was trying to help them with health and fitness. It was just Dan.
Right.
And secondly, Dan's message wasn't just, hey, I'm going to get you fit. We're going to lift weights. His right. message was, I see you. You're just yeah. as good as anybody else. You can do anything anybody else can do. And just put yourself in the shoes of a person with a missing limb. Probably not thrilled to be missing a limb. Probably upset about it. Probably resentful about it. Probably wish they had all their limbs. So to have someone give them a message of like, hey, I see you. You're just as good, capable as anybody else. That message spoke to their soul. That's why he was
Danny,
able to do so well.
He
so
was able far. To fill that purpose for them and for himself, you know, find that purpose. And I think when you have a purpose, it really makes a difference.
It does.
And that's something that is really important, especially if you're going to stay motivated as an entrepreneur. You know, the other thing that you mentioned was that Twilight Zone, the original Twilight Zone was a big attraction to you.
Yes.
Is there an episode that particularly resonated with you or just the series in general?
Man, the whole series was great, but there's a couple episodes that were pretty darn amazing. You know, there was one episode that was made shortly after Fidel Castro overthrew the Batista government and introduced his repressive communist regime there. And it was showing how the Fidel character was like killing all the people around him because he just got paranoid. There was another episode with Lloyd Bachner, who had been on Dynasty as one of the bad guys.
Mm.
There was some aliens had come to Earth and they had a book and the cover of the book said To Serve Man. And everybody right. was all excited about these guys, but you know, he felt something was off and they figured it out. He figured it out and they arrested him because it was a cookbook To Serve yeah. Man.
right? Yep. Yeah, famous episode there for sure.
And there was another episode with this young boy who could, with his mind, do whatever he wanted. And he could read your mind, and if you upset him, he'd kill you, destroy you, turn you into something not so great. So everybody around him was freaked out, right? Because they had to always be happy just to keep him happy. And that was what it was at. That was a pretty wild episode.
Yeah. So, you know, what was it that really kind of resonated with you? Do you think of, you know, is there something that connects back to kind of leadership or personal insight from those shows, or was it just because it was a part of your early childhood?
They were just very clever and very well done. I think human beings learn and grow through story, and the better the stories are, the more we connect and resonate with them, and the more we learn. Stories teach timeless truths if they're well told and well done. It's one of the reasons I'm really not much into watching a lot of current movies, because a lot of them just, they've gone away from that. They're trying to tell a woke point rather than tell a beautiful story. I mean, Rod Serling, you could go watch any of the episodes in the Twilight Zone and you could be uplifted as a human being for having watched them. You know, yeah. you could learn something. I mean, the episode with Fidel Castro foreshadowed that even a revolution with great intentions, if it puts too much power in the hands of a man with gargantuan appetites, which it did in the case of Fidel Castro, can go horribly wrong and be worse than the regime that it replaced, which is what happened in Cuba. I mean, the communist regime was 1,000 times worse than the Batista regime. And that was an incredible lesson, right? I mean, one I learned in real life from being an Iranian and being a child during the time of the Islamic Revolution, you know, and the Lloyd Bachner episode was, be careful. Things aren't always what they seem to be.
Yes.
Do your research. Ronald Reagan said it, right? Trust but verify. Trust but verify. And I thought that was powerful.
Yeah, those with power will do anything to keep it. Those with no power will do anything to get it. It's a reoccurring theme in science fiction and fantasy for sure.
Yes.
And in all really, I think, great stories, we have that. You know, when you look at something like Starship Troopers, there's themes of like duty and honor. And I would imagine there's a lot of parallels between that and your leadership and yes. being an entrepreneur. You know, what kind of, you know, things do you try to, when you're working with people, do you try to get through to them about duty, honor, things like that?
You know, that's a great question. I have a no asshole rule with the people I work with. You got to be a good human being. Yep. And if you're not, I don't want to work with you. And for me, that's somebody who cares about their fellow man. They want to win, yep. they want to succeed, but they care about their fellow man. They want to see them win and succeed as well. So that's something that I've been really focused on and have been successful in attracting those kinds of people to our work. Secondly, you got to have a desire to make a difference. And there's a difference we're all born to make, but we got to figure out what that difference is. You know what I'm saying, Nate? Yeah. And the sooner you figure it out, the better.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's so important. If you can get paid to do something you love and fulfill some kind of purpose, you've won the lottery. That's absolutely true and is rare. Most people, you know, just have a job that pays the bills. Not too many people have the opportunity to actually fulfill a purpose, and that's important. You know, many sci-fi stories, you know, explore resilience, innovation, moral dilemmas. Is there like a story in your own experience working with someone where someone had a real moral dilemma that they had, and you don't have to give names, but that they had to face this moral dilemma and they had to find a way out? Is there something that comes to mind that you could share?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I've had tons of clients come to us and say, and this has happened to me, should I work with this person? I could use the money, but I'm not sure it's a perfect fit. I'm not sure I could deliver this for them.
Yeah.
Or I'm not sure I like them and I want to work with them, but I could use the money.
Yeah.
And my answer every time is don't do it. Don't do it. Let it go. God will provide.
Yeah.
You will attract the right people. And honestly, right now, I'm really blessed because we're attracting the right people. We're attracting just good humans.
That's good.
Humans. We're also attracting people, for the most part, that can pay. And that's important too. That's very important.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I went to this, I don't know, maybe it was 10 years ago. I attended some sales training, and as I owned my own business, and the individual that owned the company that was doing the training, he was very clear that there's an interview process and he wouldn't hire just anybody and he wouldn't train just anybody. And he had companies that would try and hire his company to train their salesmen, and he wouldn't take the business because they wanted to be dishonest in their sales process. It was part of the way the entire company was set up, was to be dishonest, and he just couldn't do it. And I always admired that. I admired that because it is, there's so much freedom of working in the honest space. It's not worth the cost of working in the dishonest space. And I think that is something that is very important when you're trying to grow your business.
It is. It's extremely important.
I have a question. You know, your books such as Finish Line Thinking and The Power of Connecting, they emphasize mindset and relationships. You know, how do these principles, you know, guide decisions as you go forward? You know, the mindset, relationships, when you're trying to grow a business, what are those things that are most important?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned relationships. I think relationships are the key to success in business, period, right? You got to build strong relationships with people. And let me tell you another story. So I had this client. His name was Carl Kramer. Carl used to be executive vice president at a large manufacturing concern here in Ontario, Canada. Loved what he did, but he got burned out. So he quit his job. And he decided to become a business coach. And he loved being a business coach. And his hours were, you know, cut in half. So he loved that too. He loved everything. except for the fact that his income took an 80% haircut. He went from $350,000 a year to $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
So he came to me and he said, look, I just want to make what I used to make. But I don't want to work as hard as I used to work. We helped Carl. We helped him do this little exercise that we do, right? And this exercise, it's actually a pretty kick-ass exercise. Let me see if I can find it here. There we go. It's called the ideal client exercise. Can you see this?
Yes. Well, the reception isn't great, but I'm sure it'll catch up.
So the first circle is the clients you get the best results for. The second circle is the clients you like working with, enjoy working with the most. And the third is the clients that are easy to deal with. Like they pay right away in full. You know, they give you lots of referrals, no fuss, no muss. That's your ideal client that's in all three of those buckets.
Right.
So we had him do this exercise and he discovered his ideal client was a man, kind of late 30s to late 50s, lawyer, solopreneur, wanted to triple his income. So focusing on that, he was able to, within 6 months, take his income from $70,000 a year, which is just under $6,000 a month, to $50,000 a month, or $600,000 a year.
Fantastic.
And why? Because he started to focus on the right people. Like, look, I know my ideal client. My ideal client is a solopreneur. They make less than $1 million a year. They might have like an assistant, but that might be it. They're good people and they're good at what they do. What they're not as good at is selling, marketing, and branding themselves so they're visible. They actually kind of suck at that. Suck, Nathan, is a technical business term.
Yes, right.
And so our excellence is we help these folks with their mindset to get their mindset so they believe they can five or tenfold their income. We help them learn how to sell effectively because a lot of these people just don't know how. We hold their feet to the fire so they actually do what they have to do to sell. And then we teach them how to, you know, market and brand themselves so they're seen as the go-to authority, the thought leader in their space. So this is kind of the thing that we do.
Yeah.
Now, if you came to me and you said, well, Nikki, can you work with manufacturing concerns, HR department? No, it's not what I do.
Right.
I don't do that. I'm not good at that. Now, what I am good at is what I said to you, I am good at. So when I run into the people that are my ideal clients, I go, okay, I can help them. I got the skill set. I know their problem. I can help them. The next thing I'm looking for is, are they good people? Do I like them? If the answer to that is no, I won't work with them. If the answer is yes, then I might work with them. And then at that point is, how ready are they to solve their problem? If they're ready, then I'll work with them. If they're not, if they're hemming, they're hawing, they want to take their time, I'm like, bye-bye.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be willing and able. Absolutely. What are some practical steps that people can take to develop resilience, leadership, authenticity?
Well, develop authenticity, man. That's a hard one, man. You got to just make a decision to be real and not full of shit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a developmental thing. Develop resilience. I think when you go through life and you get knocked down a few times, if you keep getting back up, you'll be resilient, you know?
Yeah. And there's no replacement for experience.
No.
The only way to get experience is experience.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm going through an interesting thing. Amazon, out of the blue, decided to suspend my accounts and then cancel them. And they won't let me speak to anybody. It's all being done by email. It's interestingly enough, happened after I spoke on major TV program about Iran. So I'm wondering if that has anything to do with it. And
really? Huh.
I am pushing hard to get my accounts reinstated because, you know, all the books I've written, I don't own my royalties right now. They're taking off the royalties. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. It's pretty crazy. But the truth of the matter is that as a result of this, I'm being forced to learn how to be a little resilient and push back. And I'm pushing back, like taking what they're telling me. I filed a complaint with a governmental body. I've gone online and I've tagged Andy Jassy, the CEO of Amazon, and Doug Harrington, CEO of their Amazon stores division. And I've said, hey, this is what's going on. I've reached out to someone in charge of Amazon public relations. Let's see what happens.
Wow.
But I'm going to keep pushing. That's part of what I got to do. When adversity comes at you, you got to come right back at it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good on you for doing that. You got to have that. Is there, where can listeners that are listening to this or watching this podcast, if they want to find those books, I guess they can't find them on Amazon. Do you have a website we could drive them to?
The books are on Amazon. I just, I'm not going to get paid for them right now. They shut down my access to the...
Understand, right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, kind of messed up.
Well, thank you for coming. But it's okay. I'm sure you'll pull through. I hope it gets resolved for you. I really do appreciate you coming on the show and taking the time to talk to us. You know, is there anything you'd encourage our listeners to do? Any website you'd like to drive them to, or Instagram or anything like that?
My main website is ecircleacademy.com. If you're a business owner,
okay,
and you want to have a conversation with me about your business, there's a button there called Book a Success Call, or you go to ecircleacademy.com/appointment. That's the best place to send them. Yeah.
Right. Sounds great. Well, thank you very much to our listeners and viewers. We thank you for watching another episode of Uncle Nathan's Nerdcast. I'm your host, Nathan Fletcher. And as I close out every episode, please, for the love of God, please stay nerdy. Thank you.
Love it.